You're listening to SBS News.
With the engine of the P-8A Poseidon roaring overhead, Flying Officer Aya Khaled ducks under the hatch of the weapons bay. She speaks with a ground crew member as they run over the inventory of switches and settings in the belly of the Boeing 737, a passenger plane that's been modified to incorporate maritime surveillance and attack capabilities. It's her first month as an armament engineer at RAF Base Edinburgh in South Australia, just the beginning of a military career she once thought to be out of her reach.
It was a dream that I never thought would actually come true, because I was like, oh, let's be realistic. What would I be doing? Or especially like also like as a female and different culture and stuff, like you just, yeah, find a job next to home and settle.
Born in Kuwait, she's the second of five children. Aya's mother is Lebanese-Australian, who became a citizen after coming to Australia as a student in 1983 during Lebanon's civil war. Her father is an Egyptian mechanical engineer. When Aya was 11 years old, they moved to Egypt to be closer to family and for opportunities in higher education. But within 2 years, the Arab Spring reached Cairo.
It was all mainly in the city, the main riots and stuff, but then at some stage it got out of hand. It was everywhere in the suburbs and everything, and they came where we lived as well and stuff like that. So then was when I felt a bit unsafe in my home.
The 18-day uprising spilled out from the capital into the suburbs. Almost 900 civilians were reportedly killed, thousands more injured. Aya's family made the decision to come to Australia, 20 years after her mother had left, and a country Aya had never seen.
Because we're pretty much returning citizens, we didn't have any support services to help us, like asylum seekers or refugees or such. So it was like, you're Australian, you know what you're doing.
They spent 5 weeks in a hotel figuring out how to restart their lives.
What I really remember was I loved how clean it was and how, like, organized it was, like, just as when you walk me down the streets, and I've always loved that.
Settling in Melbourne's north, Aya decided that instead of catching up on Year 11 requirements, she'd tackle Year 12 head-on. From her first day, every recess, lunchtime and after-school hours were devoted to study. She not only caught up to the other students, she finished the year ducks of Coburg High with an invitation to study aerospace engineering at RMIT, fulfilling a destiny she'd predicted years earlier.
I was like 14. Or 15 years old. I didn't even know what engineering was, but I told my dad I'm going to be an engineer like you one day. And slowly I got to know what he actually does.
Her other passion was the military. Discovering she could combine the two, she applied to join the Air Force upon completion of her degree. With the decision made, all that was left was to inform the family.
Some were shocked, some were really supportive, like especially my grandpa. He's very, very shocked, but very supportive. He's like, I don't believe you did that. I'm like, oh, thank you. So I think in a good way, shocked, I suppose.
She didn't know what to expect. Aya says she had some concerns the uniform would not meet her religious requirements or that the mess may not offer a halal option. But thanks to the guidance of a hijab-wearing army officer, she felt at ease. Donning the uniform for the first time, Aya says, was a day she'll never forget.
I was almost dancing in there because it's kind of two things. Like, A, I don't believe I actually got here. Like, I've gone through a lot and here I am. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, I've achieved the dream that I've always wanted.
It's a dream Group Captain Alison McCarthy is familiar with. Raised in a military family, she signed up to the Defence Force Academy in 1992. Approaching her 30th year in the RAAF, she says much has changed over the course of her career.
A lot of the aircraft that I remember from when I joined, like F-111s and Classic Hornets, they're all in museums now. So that part of it has changed a lot. And the diversity of the people that we work with has increased dramatically.
Group Captain McCarthy was the only woman among 30 men in her Defence Force Academy intake. Today, over 25% of the Air Force is female. And last year, 40% of Defence Force graduate recruits spoke a language other than English. She says diversity in the Defence Forces brings knowledge and perspective.
We want those unique experiences. We want that unique perspective And we want that as part of our team. So, you know, the greater range of perspectives we have within our team when we're solving some of those future challenges, the better position that we're going to be in.
While Australia is the third country Aya Khaled has lived in, it's the first she calls home. Beginning her career as an officer in the Australian Defence Forces this year, she says she intends to serve her new country for many years to come.
I feel like I'm actually supporting something important. I'm not just working for a random organisation or something. Like, it gives you a sense of purpose.
Flying Officer Khaled is aiming to rise through the ranks to squadron leader within the next 15 years. Beyond that, she says she's keeping her options open. Group Captain Alison McCarthy says she's forging a path for all women of culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds in Australia.
Having people like Flying Officer Khaled as an example that we can show, you know, if she really enjoys her career, if she's successful and really likes what she does, then people can, if they see something of themselves in her, then they might think, well, you know, maybe I can enjoy a career in Air Force as well.
Possessing drive and enthusiasm, she says, for Flying Officer Khaled, the sky is the limit. Abby Dinham, SBS News.